Man, well, how's everyone doing this morning? Yeah, it's one of those weeks, hasn't it been? Well, I want to thank you guys for being here this morning. Two Sundays a year, churches all around America have the lowest attendance. Can you guess what days they are? New Year's Eve, Sunday right after New Year's Eve, and for some reason, the day we go and change our clocks forward. It's like 1 hour makes a huge difference in your life. And those are the two Sundays that have the lowest attendance in churches all around. So I want to thank you guys for being here this morning, because it means that time will not stop you from receiving the Word of God. Give yourselves a round of applause. Amen. Amen. If you're joining us online, I want to welcome you, or maybe you're here for the first time. We're in a series entitled Out of Control, and we are in part 3 or 4 of this series. I can't really remember right now. But this Sunday, we're going to really do something interesting. I believe that God has left the best message of this series for today of all Sundays. We're going to talk about out of control fear. Fear is something that's really dominating our lives. Fear is something that keeps people up at night, keeps them living in anxiety. And I don't know who you are, but some of the strongest people hide fear very well. And you might have come to this church this morning afraid of something. Maybe you're afraid of your future. You're afraid of tomorrow. You're afraid what's going to happen to your kids. You're afraid of what happens if I stay single forever. Or you're afraid of how am I going to pay the bills. And fear really becomes this dominating factor in our mindsets that robs us of our peace and our joy and our livelihood. And of all the Bible verses I read, fear is a topic that interests me the most, because did you know that the term fear not in the Bible, when the Bible says fear not, did you know that that phrase fear not is written 365 times in the Bible? Could it be that God did that on purpose because He wanted you to fear not every day of your life, every day of the year? Because every day you're going to have a reason to fear. And fear can go completely out of control in our minds. And I'm not talking about the fear of heights or spiders or none of those phobias. When I talk about uncontrollable fear, it's those random thoughts that come to your mind that are so out of your control, but you really begin to trust in it. Believe that fear. But God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. And the reason that God refers to fear as a spirit and not an emotion, because a spirit has the power to really influence you and control you. So God wants you to know that if you're not careful, fear can manipulate and control your life. And maybe you're allowing that to happen. And ironically, as we talk about fear today, this week, I was afraid. I want to thank you all for your prayers for my twin brother, Danny. And it's this week that I really saw the power of a church that prays. Danny thought he had some food poisoning. We don't know what happened, but he was throwing up a lot and stomach was hurting. And he was just throwing up out of control. And they woke me up around 4:30 in the morning and said, would you take your brother to the hospital because it's just getting worse? And I thought Danny was just being a big baby. I thought, well, whatever, fine, and I'll just take him. And as I dropped him off in the ER, because we can't stay with them anymore because of COVID, I just dropped him off and I said, I'll pick you up later, baby. When I got home, my mother with tears told me Danny's been rushed to the intensive care unit. And he had this thing that happened where his blood turns into acid and it could shut down your organs. And the doctor said, usually within 1 or 2 days, you're gone. And at that moment, fear consumed me. I'm a pastor, but I'm human, and fear consumed me. And thoughts came of, what happens if I lose my brother? What am I going to do? I mean, if I lose my twin brother, what's going to happen to Frankie? What's going to happen to their unborn child? All these fears began to consume me in the 1 week I'm talking about fear. And then I just prayed. And then my church prayed. Because sometimes all you can do is pray. And hours later, as I just laid there in bed, crying and just leaving it to the Lord, we as a family said, Lord, He is yours, not ours. Your will be done. That's a hard prayer to pray. And then Danny calls. The doctor said they don't know how it's possible, but the body is naturally healing itself without medicine. Yeah, you know, the doctors don't know how it's possible, but we do. We serve an awesome God. That is why fear should not dominate you. So as we get into this topic of uncontrollable fear, remain standing as we go to Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 10. Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 10. And this is what the Word of God says. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. And at sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. And as he slept, he dreamt and a stairway or a ladder that reached from earth to heaven. And he saw angels of God going up and down the ladder. And at top of this ladder stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. It will spread out in all directions, to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. I want you to pick something up here. I want you to notice verse 15. God says, what more? What more? I'm with you. I will protect you wherever you go. And one day I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have finished given you everything that I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid. And he said, what an awesome place this is. It's no other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. I want to jump over to chapter 32. 32:28. I want you to notice something about 32:22, sorry. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two servant wives, his 11 sons, and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn. When a man saw that he could not win to match, notice, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched out his socket. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What's your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men, and you have won. You have fought with God, and you have won. Let's pray. Father, bless this word. Help us to learn what it is to live without fear. Uncontrollable fear, I believe, is ruling our lives and ruining our lives. So help us to understand and be blessed and help me to preach today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat where you're at. As we go into this subject of uncontrollable fear, I want to share with you this interesting story. But in 1994, Flight 593, that's Flight 593, was on its way from Russia, from Moscow, to Hong Kong. And this was an ordinary flight, and a father and son was on this flight, but the son had this terrible fear of flying. But the father reassured him that nothing was going to happen, that you can trust me. But see, the son really got anxious and said, how do I know I can trust you? But the father said, just sit down and trust me. But moments later, as the flight ascended, shortly after, the pressure in the cabin began to drop. The plane began to turn on its side. The plane even turned on its nose. And it was falling fast and out of control. And as the pilot tried to regain control, he couldn't. And the plane continued to spiral out of control, to the point that it even at one point got upside down. Now picture this, all of you who are afraid to fly. And the plane quickly began to nosedive. And just when they thought they regained control, it was too late. And the plane crashed in the Siberian mountains, killing everyone on board, burning them alive. And just like that, everyone died. I want you to think about this. Because as they went through all of the broken down plane, trying to put it all together, investigators really tried to put this plane together to figure out what went wrong, because the flight crew said everything checked out fine before they left. The flight tower said everything was fine. The plane was on course, but quickly after, the flight went completely out of course, and the flight pattern changed, and they did not know why. And as they went through everything, they couldn't figure out, because the weather was perfect. The plane had no mechanical issues. And it was in 1994, this became the greatest mysterious flight crash they've ever seen. They said this could not have happened. And a few weeks later, with much searching, they found what's called the black box, which records the recordings throughout the whole flight and the voices. And they quickly were in shock when they heard the sound of a child on the cockpit of that plane. That father was the pilot of that plane. That child was his son. And even though the child was afraid to fly, the father, being the pilot, told his son, "You can trust me." But as the father got up to use the restroom, the kid got anxious. And in his mind and in his fear, he really thought he could control the plane. And as he got on the cockpit and took control of that plane, he disabled the autopilot. And quickly, the plane got completely out of control. And the reason that this chaos happened, this destruction and this crash, was because someone that was not supposed to be in control thought they could be in control. Are you following me? And someone that thought they could be in control could not have control. It was not in their ability to control. And quickly, This was titled on every newspaper, "The Avoidable Disaster of a Crash." And as I read this article, I wonder how many people have this disastrous life. That everything in your life seems to be out of control. And maybe there's things that aren't working out for you. And maybe right now you're just thinking that you can take control of your own life. You can control your destiny. You can control your future. You can change this. You can work this out. But what if life, like that plane, was never meant to be under your control? Life is hard. Amen? Life is complicated. And because life is so hard and complicated, it goes beyond our ability to take control of. It goes beyond our ability to really handle. But we have this Heavenly Father that's like a captain that says, when it comes to this plane, when it comes to this life, I just want you to sit back, enjoy the journey, and trust me. But like that child, sometimes in life, we get a little turbulent. Sometimes life gets a little bit scary and frightening, and all these thoughts of fear begin to consume our minds, and we quickly just say, "Lord, I got this." And we try to change things only God can change. We try to fix people only God can fix. We try to make things happen that only God can make happen. And we really have a sense of when fear comes, I have to do something. And there are so many people like that flight. There are so many people like the flight pattern that goes out of control. There are so many people whose life patterns are completely off course. There's a lot of people whose patterns of life is all completely out of control and disastrous. We have people living in disastrous relationships. People going through disastrous circumstances. There's disastrous families and siblings. There are people who have emotion that are just disastrous. But what if some of the disasters in your life, like this flight, can be completely avoided? What if there's some pain in your life you shouldn't even be in right now? What if there's some circumstances you put yourself in? All because you failed to put your trust in God. Because like this flight, it's interesting that as a pastor, for years now, my job is all about seeing disaster and chaos and pain. And it's amazing as I sit down, and it's almost like I'm looking at this complete destruction. Of a marriage, of a child, of a person, of a family. And it's almost like as I'm going through the destruction, I find this little spiritual black box that's going to show me exactly what went wrong. Because this is why many people sit down with me. They want to know, what are they doing wrong? And what's interesting is that the majority of the disasters I see as a pastor in people's lives are disasters that can be completely avoided. The majority of the marriages I've seen fail could have worked. The majority of the children that aren't serving God I see could have been serving God. The majority of the people that are suffering with addiction and pain could have avoided it. And all these people share this one common factor. Fear and their lack of trust in God. Fear and their lack of trust in God. And there's all this pain, and there's all this confusion, and there's all this destruction and mess that sadly I see could have been avoided had they not allowed fear to lead them to not trust in God, to take control of their own life, to do it their way, to not listen and not obey and not really trust in the Lord. And as I read this book here, there is a lot of problems. There is a lot of destruction that could have been avoided had people simply not allowed fear to rule their minds. Had they simply just trusted in God. When I think about people in the Bible, like a man named Jonah, who was a man of God, a preacher. And when God told him, hey, go preach to these certain crowds of people, the problem was Jonah didn't like those people. You know, there are some preachers, we don't like everyone. But we got to preach to them. Don't worry, it's not you guys, it's the ones that aren't here today. But what's interesting is that God told Jonah, hey, I want you to go to the city called Nineveh. But see, Jonah was afraid of the people finding the Lord, getting saved, and changing. He thought they didn't deserve that. So Jonah, he took matters into his own hands and said, you know what, God, I'm not going to trust you in this. I'm just going to do what I need to do. And Jonah got on a ship, and he went the opposite direction of where God told him to go. Here's a little advice. If you want destruction in your life, do the opposite of what God says. And as he set sail, quickly there was a storm. And the storm began to break apart the ship. And innocent people began to suffer. And they began to lose things. And there was chaos. And when I read this, I thought to myself, how many people have completely uncontrollable storms in their lives that could have been avoided had they simply listened to God and just trusted in Him? Or maybe it's not this avoidable storms that you're in, but I thought about a woman named Sarah in the Bible who wanted to have a child. It was her greatest dream to have a child and be a mom, but she was already old and way past the childbearing age. But God told her, don't be afraid, you're going to have a child. But here's the problem. 20 plus years later, nothing. And she thought maybe she heard wrong. She thought maybe God led me wrong, and I don't think this is going to happen. I have an idea. She went to her husband and said, hey, I have an idea because I'm afraid that God's not going to come through, so we need to take matters into our own hands. Why don't you go sleep with our servant? And Abraham said, well, honey, whatever you say. And as a result, there was a big, chaotic problem in their lives. Because they failed to trust in God's timing. See, anytime you fail to trust in the Word of God, the timing of God, or the things of God, you're going to head for a completely disastrous life. And maybe you're here this morning, and there are some disasters in your life that could have been avoided. There are some circumstances in your life you could have completely avoided. But somewhere down the middle, fear took over your mind. And you thought that maybe you can take control. And you began to make choices and manipulate some things and do some things in order to get to where you wanted to be. and you pushed God aside. And you could not sit and enjoy the journey because your fear got you restless. And like so many people I see, or so many people in the Bible, your life now has a lot of destruction because you are failing to let God drive. You are failing to let God lead. And in the Bible, Jesus said, "Follow me." It was never Jesus saying, "I will follow you." And if you want a life of joy, if you want a life of purpose, if you want a life of peace, you have to follow Jesus, not the other way around. You have to say, "Lord, you take control of my life, and I will surrender to you, and I will trust you." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a popular verse we read, but we have no idea what it really means. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." That word "heart" literally means your mind. If you're going to trust in the Lord, you have to get your mind right. Trust in the Lord with all your mind. Why does it say all your mind? Because your thoughts can be divided. You can say, "Lord, I trust you, but what if it doesn't work out? But Lord, I trust you, but what if I can't pay rent? But Lord, I trust you, but what if I get divorced? Lord, I trust you, but what if I this happens or that happens?" You cannot have a divided mind and trust God. You have to make up your mind. Will you trust Him or not? And the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." How many of you need God to direct your path today? How many of you have some choices you need to make? Who better than direct than God? But in order for God to direct, you need to follow. But you cannot follow God if you're telling God to follow you. Amen? So God says, "Trust me. And don't rely on your own ability," is what it means when the Bible says don't lean on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own ability to do things. But trust God. This is that verse that applies to any situation you can't control right now. There's a person in your life you can't control. You love them, but they're out of control. You can't do anything. You try to talk to them. You try to change them. You try to help them. But there comes a point that you say, "Lord, this is out of my ability. I need to trust you in their life." There are some certain circumstances in your life you can't fix. You can try to fix it. You think you may know how to fix it. But there are some circumstances that go completely outside of your ability to change. And it's in those moments you say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything about this, so I will trust you." God says, "Acknowledge me in all your ways." In every area of your life, you need to trust God in the area of your finances, in the area of your relationships, in the area of your loved ones, in the area of your future. Every area of your life should be surrendered unto God. Sometimes we feel like we can't trust Him. It's just too hard. It's just too difficult. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how chaotic things are. And I meet people that tell me, "Pastor, I think I'm incapable of trusting in God." But that's not true. You want me to prove to you that you can trust God? Want me to show you how? Do me a favor. Grab me that chair. That chair next to you. Yeah, grab that. This is Al, everyone. Welcome him to our church. That's awesome. Thank you, Al. Come here. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Al. You know, a lot of you this morning, when I told you after we read the Bible to sit down, what did you guys do? You literally went, "Okay." Right? You know what you just did? You trusted in this chair to hold you. I saw you. None of you guys went, I don't know. I don't know. Can it? Is it stable? You do it first. You go first. No one did that, right? Did any of you say, no, Pastor, before I sit down, you got to tell me a little bit more about this chair. Where'd it come from? Oh my gosh, how does this chair, is it able to hold me? None of you. Oh my gosh, it's made in China. Can we trust them? No. You guys, are you honestly going to tell me you have more faith and trust in a chair than you do God? You guys just leaned on it, knowing it would sustain you, hold you. I don't want God to get jealous of a chair. But God sees you this morning and He says, my gosh, oh my me. You sat down in the chair without thinking about it. But when it comes to putting your life in my hands, you got to think about it. You got to test it out. See, God says, trust me with all your heart. Don't rely on your own ability. In every area of your life, would you just acknowledge me? That word acknowledge in the Hebrew literally means to know and to consider. To know and consider what? What the Bible says, that He's Lord. That word trust in the Lord, that word Lord literally means master and authority. So would you consider today that maybe God is the authority of everything in your life? God is in control of everything in your life. God is on top of everything in your life. And the Bible, this is a twofold command. You cannot trust God and not acknowledge Him. They go hand in hand together. You have to consider that whatever it is you're going through in your life, God is Lord of. God is the master of. And that's why God says in all your ways, in every area of your life, surrender control over to me. But many people live as though they're the master of their life. They're the master of their destiny. They control their future. I do what I want. I can handle this. I can fix this. And God says, you go right ahead and let me know how that works out for you. And many people go into this place of destruction because there's no acknowledgement of God in their life. You just get up every day and do what you want. Live how you want to live. And you don't even acknowledge there is a God that wants control over your life. God says, acknowledge me. But the lack of acknowledgement is the reason that so many people are experiencing complete, avoidable disasters. God says, I'm authority. That's why Jacob, the man we first opened up with. Let me give you a little background of his story. Jacob had a twin brother. His name was Esau. They were completely opposite because twins are opposite. If you know me and Danny, you know we're opposite, right? Jacob was soft skin, girly, I think. I don't know. He loved to bake with his mom. Esau was manly, hairy. He was a hunter. And every twin, there's always a manly one and a girly one, you know? You don't have to guess. And every twin, there's an evil one and a good one. Yes, you don't have to guess. I'm the pastor. Come on. An evil Jacob He was just wanting to get ahead in life. How many of you just want to get ahead in life? All of us do. He wanted to get on top. But he couldn't because he was rightfully the second born. And as a second born, he did not have the full inheritance of the father. He had some inheritance, but not all of it. But here's where the trouble came. He became ungrateful and said, "No, I want all of it." And the word Jacob means liar in the Hebrew. It literally means deceiver or trickster. See, Jacob was the type of man that loved to manipulate and control his life. He would lie to you. He would deceive you in order to get what he wanted. That was Jacob. So Jacob came up with this plan to disguise himself as his brother and steal the inheritance from him. And he did. And as a result, Jacob brought a lot of pain to his family's life, as our choices will. And he had to run away, fearing for his life because of his choice. And now when we read the Bible, Jacob is all alone. He's afraid. He's in the middle of a desert. He doesn't know what's going to happen in his life. And maybe you're here right now and you can relate to Jacob. You feel alone. You feel as though you're in the middle of life and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going. You don't know the outcome of your future. And in Jacob's case, maybe like in your case, that can put a lot of fear in your life. And Jacob found himself alone, miserable, and afraid. What's interesting is that Jacob went to sleep. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you're so lonely and sad that all you can do is sleep? Jacob just went to sleep. And as he slept, the Bible says that he had this dream. And in his dream, he looked up and he saw heaven open up. And he saw a ladder from heaven to earth. And on that ladder, he saw angels ascending and descending constantly. And on that ladder, on the very top of that ladder, he saw God. Now you're probably thinking, well, what's all that about? Well, God wanted Jacob to know what he wants you to know this morning. Maybe you're alone. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen in your future. But God wants you to know what he wanted to know, what he wanted Jacob to know at that moment. That even though you're not aware of it right now, even though you can't see it or understand it, I'm on top of your life. And I am working on your behalf. Angels carry out the work of God. So when Jacob saw those angels, God was letting him know, I am constantly working. You just don't know it. And when Jacob saw God, he saw him on top. Why? Because God wanted you to know, this is where I stand. I'm on top. But let me really blow your mind. You guys ready? The reason that Jacob was able to see God on top, ready? Was because he had to be at the very bottom. And maybe God allows you to hit bottom because only then will you realize where he really stands. And I see so many people, it takes rock bottom for them to recognize God in their life. I see families hit rock bottom for them to say, okay, God, now I'm ready. And sometimes God has allowed you to suffer and go through pain and difficult circumstances at the bottom to get you to see that he's on top. Jacob resembles our next game, Chutes and Ladders. Let me remember this game. If you don't, let me give you a sad story. The first time I played this game was in third grade. Third grade was the worst school year of my life. Because third grade was the first year I had the first horrible teacher. And school now is not like school back then. Man, school in the 90s was tough. Schools in the 70s and 60s and 80s were even tougher. They had battles. But there weren't cameras in the classroom. I didn't know about teachers' unions or anything like that. And teachers were mean. My teacher threw a stapler at me. I thought that was normal. My third grade teacher, Miss Edwards, she was an old lady. I don't know how she was breathing in third grade. And it's a true story. Third grade, Miss Edwards, every day after lunch, we would come to the classroom so that Miss Edwards would go to the very back room. She had this little closet where she would smoke. That was normal. And she said, "Don't bother me now." And she would watch her shows for that hour, every day. Young and the Restless. She said, "Just play these board games." And I played this demonic game, Chutes and Ladders. The concept is simple. Make it to the top. Get the prize. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get that prize. I'm going to dominate everyone. And I spun. And I was going forward. I was moving forward. And I was going and going and going. And I was beating everyone. And I was like, yeah, I'm winning. I got this. And all of a sudden, without warning, I spun and I landed on the longest shoot ever. And I quickly hit bottom. I quickly felt like I was going backwards. I felt like I was stuck. I felt so hurt and discouraged. I began to cry. And everyone else was like, yeah, you're at the bottom. And I was like, stop it. And I remember the disappointment. Let me ask you, church, does it ever feel like you're not making progress in life? And just when you think you're getting ahead, something happens that causes you to hit bottom and you're starting to go backwards and it feels like you're not getting ahead of life and everyone else is and you feel just stuck? That's hard. And as I cried, I ran to my teacher and I told her what the problem was. She asked me, "Why are you crying?" And I thought she would comfort me. And she said this, "That's life, you never win." I was crying even more. "That's life, you never win?" I'll never forget those words. "That's life. You never win." That's life. You never win. Come on, say it with me. That's life. You never win. Those are words of the devil, let me tell you. Because, you know, life is hitting bottom. In life, you will make mistakes that causes you to go backwards. In life, it feels like you are starting over. Like you're not advancing. But what this game really shows you, that in life, even though you may hit bottom, you may go backwards, you may not make progress, there are also some ladders. That just when you least expect it, you can get back on top again. You can move forward again. You can actually win again.
And that's why God wanted Jacob to know, even though you feel like you're at the bottom right now, Jacob, you've made some bad choices. Your life is out of control. You're living in fear. You're alone. You don't know what's going to happen. You feel like you're not advancing. You feel like it's over. You'll never win. You'll never feel like you're on top again. I want you to know that there's a ladder, that when you're at the bottom and you're at the lowest you've ever been, God can pick you right off. God can put you back where you belong. God can restore you. God can fix this. And God said, Jacob, there's a ladder. Because no matter how down you are, I'm always working in your life. I'm always up to something. And just when you feel like you can't get any more down, a ladder shows up. And I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. But maybe you came to this church, you're listening online, and you feel like you're at the bottom. And nothing's worked out for your life. And just when you thought it was going to work out, it was a shoot and you went back down. Stuck. Hopeless, alone and afraid. But what if God is telling you this morning, I'm working. Don't be afraid. You're at the bottom now, but I'm always on top. And I want to tell you that God is on top of that very area in your life you're afraid of. Come on, God is on top of those children. God is on top of your marriage. God is on top of His provisions for your life. You're sick, God is on top of it. You're scared, God is on top of it. God wants us to know, I'm always at work. You can trust me. But you have to trust me. I'm on top. Would you turn to your neighbor now and say, hey, he's on top. Tell him, he's on top. And that's why you're at the bottom. What bothers me about this story as I read it, I can tell you next Sunday. You want to know now? Verse 15. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to change you. I got you. I'm on top. I'm with you. I'll protect you wherever you go. One day. That's what I hate. God said, one day. What does one day mean? Not now. Not now. So God wants him to know, I'm working in your life. I'm going to bless you. I got you, I'm on top, I'm protecting you, just not now. So you know your pastor started studying. Because I can tell you right now, God is working. God is going to bless you. He's going to move you forward. He's going to prosper you. We all get goosebumps when we hear that. We love that in the church. But what if I tell you right now that even though God is fully capable of blessing your life and changing your circumstances, God is looking at you and He's saying, I just can't do it right now. One day, not now. Even though Jacob was aware of God, he literally said, God is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. Even though Jacob is aware of God, God says, I can't bless you right now. You know, there are a lot of people that are aware of God exists. They're aware of God in their life. They're aware that God is there and nothing changes. Nothing gets fixed. Nothing gets healed. Nothing moves forward. They stay stuck where they're at, even though they're aware of God. Because just being aware of God is not enough. You not only had to be aware of God, you need to trust and surrender to Him. And that's the one thing Jacob did not do. Even though Jacob was aware of God, he never trusted God. He continued to take control of his own life. He continued to manipulate. He continued to try to fix things himself. Even though he was aware of God, he was still in control of his life. And as long as you're aware of God, but you still want to call the shots, you're going to stay at the bottom. You're going to stay stuck. Here's the proof. God said in verse 15, I will protect you. I'm with you. I will protect you. Got it? Say, got it.
Got it.
All right. God said, I'm going to protect you. Look at Genesis 32, verse 7 and 8. Jacob was terrified because he heard that his brother Esau was coming. So he divided his household, along with the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two groups. And he thought, if Esau meets one group, he'll attack it. Perhaps the other group can go. Does that sound like someone that believes God's going to protect them? No. Oh Lord, please rescue me. He's aware of God. Please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I'm afraid that he's coming to attack me, along with my wives and children. Jacob stayed where he was for the night. Then he selected these gifts for his possessions. Notice what he did. God, help me out. But just in case God doesn't, why don't we get some gifts and some money and some jewelry and let's send it to Esau and make him maybe get on his good side. What's he doing? Manipulating. Has he changed? Has he done anything to change? No, he's still afraid. He's still in control. He still wants to manipulate. He still hasn't trusted in God. And maybe you're aware of God. And you're saying, God, I know you're real. Lord, please help me. You're praying, God, rescue me. God, fix this. Lord, help me. But after that prayer, you're quick to continue to get control and try to fix it yourself. And God wants to say, wait, are you asking me? Are you going to let me? Are you going to get in the way still? Or are you just going to trust me? As we close, maybe your fear is out of control. Your life is out of control. You're trying to do things on your own. You're trying to fix things and people and future destinies you can't control. And maybe you're here saying, I'm aware of God. So was Jacob. There's a lot of people that believe in God who are a mess. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but their lives are filled with destruction. And here's why. Because even though you're aware of God, you haven't truly trusted in Him. So one night, Jacob prayed and said, Lord, I'm scared. Help me. But just in case you don't come through, I'm going to divide my family. I'm going to send one this way, one that way. So one dies, the other one will run away. I'm going to run away just in case he catches up to me. But in case he catches up to me, I'm going to give him some money, some jewelry, some bling. I'm going to help him. And maybe I can get on his good side. I'm going to try to fix Esau. I'm going to try to change Esau. I'm going to try to change this circumstance. And he has not completely trusted in God, who said, I will protect you. He's restless. He's afraid. So one night, Jacob finds himself alone again, just like chapter 28. But this time he didn't get a dream. This time God paid him a visit. I want you to imagine this, because Jacob is afraid. He's sitting down. He's just there at night. He's saying, what's going to happen to my wife? What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen to my future? What's going to happen tomorrow? What if Esau comes and gets me? What if I die? What if God doesn't come through? Does that sound like you today? And all of a sudden, a man shows up who we know is Jesus and says, let's wrestle. Grabs him. And they wrestle till daybreak. Makes no sense why this happens. But can you imagine you're praying and all of a sudden God shows up and starts wrestling with you? And Jacob knows it's God because he says, bless me. And he knows that only God can bless him. So he's telling God during this wrestling match, would you just bless me? I just want to be blessed. And the Lord begins to wrestle with him to the point that he touches his socket, dislocates his hip. Have you ever dislocated your hip? You know what happens when you dislocate your hip? You can't run. And Jacob was running for his life. So God literally touched his socket and dislocated and brought so much excruciating pain so that Jacob, all he had was the ability to trust God. God took away every ability for him to have control. See, sometimes God has to cause so much pain in your life to remove anything that's going to hinder you from fully trusting in him. And why did God choose wrestling? Because wrestling is the only form of fighting that's not to kill. God doesn't want to kill you. He wants to change you. And the reason that God chose wrestling is because in wrestling, the object of wrestling is to apply a lot of pain and pressure to get the other person to submit. Are you following? And maybe God has allowed you to go through pain in your life. Go through hurt. To get you to a point where you can submit to Him once and for all. So you can stop running away from your past, like Jacob did. Stop running away from your choices, like Jacob did. Stop running away in fear and say, Lord, I trust in you. And as they began to wrestle, Jacob said, bless me in pain, bless me. God said, what's your name? Why would an all-knowing God want to know his name? He wanted to hear it from him. When Jacob said, I'm Jacob, you know what he was telling God? Jacob spent his whole life pretending to be someone he wasn't. And maybe that's you today. You pretend to be happy. You pretend to be spiritual. You pretend to be in control. You pretend to be strong. But when it comes to God, he said, I want you to tell me the truth. Who are you? And when Jacob said, I am Jacob, he was saying, God, I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. I'm a manipulator. And when God got a hold of him, he said, from now on, you will be no more Jacob, but Israel. See, before God can change your life, he needs to change you. And God is more concerned with the who than the do. And you keep praying, Lord, do this for me, do that for me, do this for me, do that for me. But before God can do anything, he wants to know who you are. Who are you? If God would say right now, who are you? No one's looking. Who are you? He might say, Lord, I'm a fake. I'm a liar. I'm an adulterer. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm hopeless. What is God wrestling with you about? Because when God got a hold of Jacob and he changed, he just touched his socket at the hip. He said, now you have no other option but to trust me. And folks, the Bible says that Jacob became Israel and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Because only God has the power to change your walk forever. But he might have to cause you to hit bottom. He might have to cause you to go through pain, to go through pressure, to get you to a point where you submit once and for all to him and say, Lord, I'm out of control. Bow your heads with me to pray today. Because maybe you feel like you're at the bottom. Maybe you feel like you'll never move forward. Maybe you're going through life just trying to fix things and trying to fix people and trying to fix your circumstances. You're going through life pretending to be someone you're not. You pretend to be happy. You smile. You pretend to be strong. But the point of the matter is that God looks at you and says, who are you? Because I know the real you. And maybe you're alone. You're afraid. You're depressed. You're discouraged. You feel depressed. You feel guilty. You're at the bottom, but God wants you to know there's a ladder that I'm on top of. I'm on top of your life. But before I can do anything, I need to change you first. And you need to get to a point where you say, Lord, I've had enough. I'm going to place my trust in you. So I want to lead you in two prayers today. And I want to lead you in this first prayer if this is you. With every head bowed and every eye is closed, this is between you and God today. And you're here today. And you're ready to once and for all surrender and submit your life to Jesus. Who's on top of your life? Who's waiting on you to surrender? Who died on the cross for your sins? So you wouldn't have to live through this life hopeless, but with a sense of security that your life and your eternal life has been taken care of. Doesn't matter how bottom you are right now, how at the bottom you may be. You may be at the lowest point of your life, and God has revealed himself to you this morning to let you know, not only do I want you to be aware of my presence in your life, I want you to submit to me once and for all. If this is your prayer here this morning or listening online, I want you to put your hand up where you're at. I want to lead you in this prayer today. God bless you. If you're listening online, would you pray this with me if this is you? Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. I trust you. I will put my trust in you. Forgive me for doing it on my own. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. You took care of that price that I deserve to pay. And today I surrender to you. In Jesus' name.
And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I've surrendered my life to Jesus. I'm aware of His presence. I'm aware I'm His child. But Lord, I'm like that child that's taking control over a life that's not mine. And you're in a situation in your life that you can't change. You're at the bottom right now. You've lost something. You've lost a family member. You've lost a job. You've lost, and you feel like you're back at the bottom, starting over again. And maybe you haven't been aware of it because you're so distracted with your fear that God is on top of it, and you want to surrender a certain circumstance to the Lord today. If that's you, you put your hand up and say, Pastor, I'm surrendering this to the Lord. God bless you. See you there. See you there. Let's all stand to our feet to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message today. Father, I know that there's uncontrollable fear that causes us to lose trust in you. We take matters into our own hands. Father, please forgive us for those moments that we are aware of you, but we don't surrender to you. And you're wrestling with us about something that needs to change. And I pray once and for all, Father, before you do anything, change who we are. Change our character, our attitude, to fit the calling you've had for our lives. We trust you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. I hope you were blessed by today's message today. Yeah, give God some praise. You guys can have a seat. If you have this uncontrollable fear, we're going on to part two, part three, part four. Yeah, part four of our series next Sunday. I'll give you a clue of what it is. I'm going to give you the title. You guys ready?
Ready.
All right. Help me. Say it. Help me.
Help me.
I can't change. If there's something in your life, you tell God, I'm going to change. I'm going to stop. This time I mean it, God. I'm not going to do it anymore, but you keep doing it. Don't miss next Sunday. If your choices, your habits, your attitudes are out of control, help me. I can't change. It's going to be a great message. Don't miss it.